you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
Tracy, we talked about eponymous foods this week.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun one to research.
Yeah.
They're not always fun, so this one was like a breath of fresh air. although I feel a little bit like I was playing a culinary version of Two Truths and a Lie.
Oh, yeah?
Because I love two of these items and
I bet
hate
I can
the
guess.
Third.
What have you it's got against obvious. Granny Smith apples?
I don't like tart and bitter things at all, so that's what it is. I also have... I mentioned at the top of the episode this strange thing that my relation to Granny Smith apples was very confused for a long time because I knew that that was the name of a food. And at one point when we lived in the Pacific Northwest and I was still quite a small kid, we had this tree that grew over our driveway and my mom would just reach out and pick apples off of this apple tree as she drove down the driveway and just eat them while she drove. She kept a shaker of salt in the car because she liked to salt her apples.
Huh.
She would just eat these apples and she called them Granny Smith apples. They were not Granny Smith apples. They were crab apples.
Oh, sure.
Which to me, they were very bitter and gross, but she loved them. And so I remember when I first was actually exposed to a Granny Smith apple, I was like, what is this kind of some kind of irradiated magic version? Like, it's huge. What is this? No, that's a Granny Smith apple, you fool. And I was just I had been very confused by misinformation in my childhood.
Yeah, we had, I think, three apple trees that were situated at the end of the plot where we grew all of our vegetables. And I have no idea what variety of apples these were. But I honestly don't remember any of them ever producing what seems like an edible apple.
Right.
They were very hard and very small. And like I have no idea what the thought process was in planting them. And whether they were intended to be like eating apples that just never produced well, or if they were intended to be like crab apples that we would use for some other purpose. Total mystery. My other big memory is that as a child, in my memory, there were exactly two types of apples available at the grocery store, and they were Red Delicious and Granny Smith, and those were your apple choices. That was it. You have red ones or green ones. And so as I got more into my adulthood and learned there were all these other kinds of apples also.
Yeah.
That are now more widely available in grocery stores. And now at our farmer's market in the fall, here'll be like, here's 17 different types of apples. It's very exciting to me.
Well, and some of that is because the field of apples has expanded, right? As people have cultivated them and crossed some apples with other kinds. There are a lot more apples and apple varieties than there were when we were kids. There are certainly some more naturally occurring ones that exist. Mm-hmm. That are just not mass produced. So there's a whole wealth of them that we just haven't encountered yet, probably. But yeah, I similarly was like red apples or green or yellow apples. Those are the options. And I just knew that the green ones were always tart and I didn't want any part of that. I am also not that big a fan of apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have anything against it. I'm not like, bleh, bleh, apple pie. But like in the realm of pies, it's one of the, I'm not a big fruit pie person in general.
Mm-hmm.
I like something more custardy, like a pumpkin pie or a sweet potato pie or, you know, any of those that have that kind of texture. Like, yes. Fruit pies less so, even though they're often so spectacularly beautiful.
How do you feel about like the fruit tarts that have a custard base with the fruit on top?
Those are okay. And I did, it was through, French food that I started to like the smaller little tarts and like a pear tart. Forget it. I love those things. That often though has to do with like spectacularly buttery crust.
Oh yeah.
I'm here for the bread component, but I will eat the fruit. That's fine.
I can imagine listeners who have a long familiarity with our show wondering whether they can expect Nellie Melba to be an upcoming Saturday classic because she is the namesake of Melba Toast, which we talk about in that episode.
She inspired Auguste Escoffier to make a couple of different things.
Yeah. So if you're thinking, hey, is that what's going to come out? The answer is sadly no, because there is a window of time back in the history of our show where for unclear, mysterious reasons, the high-quality sound file of the recording never got in the archive, and that's one of them. And we have re-released a few episodes where we only had a lower-quality version, but it's not something that we try to do often because it just sounds a lot different from what the show sounds like now.
Yeah, and in the case of Dame Nellie Melba, that was two episodes, so that would be committing to two episodes that don't sound great on Saturdays.
Right.
So, yeah, just not as ideal. There are lots of foods named for people. So, like I said, this could be an ongoing fun thing that we do periodically.
Mm-hmm.
There was also another detail that I wanted to mention. It was not really germane enough to anything for me to include it in the episode. And that is that one of the accounts that Ignacio gave of that first creation of nachos, he mentions that the women that came to hang out and eat and ask for a snack were drinking Chicos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I was reading this on like a newspaper archive thing. So I'm like, does that really say Chico? Does it say something else? What is a Chico? I did not know about this drink. I'm certainly going to make one. It's tequila and blackberry liqueur with simple syrup and lemon juice and a little club soda on top. And it sounds so delicious and refreshing to me, even though I'm not a big tequila person.
I'm right with you on all of the things you just said.
Yeah. I also think that would be great if you subbed out another spirit for tequila if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make that with vodka. It'd be great. Possibly gin. Also great.
That sounds like it would be good with gin in it, honestly, especially some of the gins that have some more fruity notes in there.
Yeah, that blackberry liqueur is going to bring out some cool stuff. But I just was like, what is a Chico? How did I not know about this? So now I'm all excited about that. And that's a different thing. I don't know what that's named for at all. I only found the recipe.
And it's also called sometimes a couple of other things that include the word Chico in it. But that one got my attention in a hurry. I also ate about probably 7 plates of nachos while researching this episode.
Yeah, you texted me a picture of nachos for the weekend.
I did. I was like, Brian, we're going to the store and we're getting nacho ingredients. It's like, okay. That was a very hard sell. Not. Yeah. And then I ate nachos several times this weekend.
The summer before last, pre-pandemic times, we had some family come and stay with us for a weekend. It was like sort of a long weekend. And this included a teen niece. She had gotten up in the morning and I was sort of telling her what was available to eat. And one of the things that I said was that we had the stuff to make taco salad. The next thing I saw on her Instagram was this plate that's with the caption that said nachos for breakfast. And I was like, or that you could make nachos instead of taco salad.
Yes. Nachos. Always make nachos. Yeah. I got into a discussion with a friend of mine about the many, many things that get piled on top of nachos sometimes and whether or not they still should be called nachos or not. But I love them. I love them in all the experimental phases. I had some very spectacular lobster nachos recently, which were like you would sell a beloved family member for them. They're so good. They were so good. So the Cobb salad is also my favorite salad. So this was very self-serving.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Who doesn't love it? I mean, you see them now and they're made in a lot of different ways. People like to switch out those ingredients. Uh-huh. You'll often get blue cheese instead of Roquefort. You'll often get turkey instead of chicken. I have seen an Italian version with like salami on it as the meat. Yeah.
So I like all the component parts that go in there. I actually could not tell you whether I've actually ordered one at a restaurant, like in my various salad ordering days. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've ordered those in a restaurant. It's my go-to. If you're at a restaurant and I'm like, I don't know this restaurant. I don't know what's on the menu. I will get the Cobb salad if it's there.
Well, we can hope that one day it will be safe for us to resume doing live shows and you and I can go out for our pre-show dinner and we will get some Cobb salads.
That is a deal. We're going to do it.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
One of our episodes this week was about Grace Humiston, also known as Mary Grace Quackenboss, depending on when in the timeline we are talking about. She used both of those names during her career. You will also sometimes hear people say that Quackenbush, because in that family tree, there are folks whose spelling has sort of evolved to be Quackenbush rather than Quackenboss, which was sort of an interesting thing to poke around at while researching this.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of see that all the time, right? Looking at family trees in history. And I know that makes it tricky sometimes for people trying to trace their own genealogy or their own family trees. But like all other language, names evolve, and sometimes in ways that make it a little bit tricky to connect the dots. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, and since that first book about her that came out in 2017 is the only book that is dedicated just to her, there's lots of other room to poke around looking at stuff like old newspaper articles and old magazine write-ups and that kind of stuff. And searching all of the different permutations of her name was a process, mm-hmm. Because she did professionally use multiple different versions of her name over time. And so I think I had started out with Grace Humiston, and I struck out in a bunch of the places where I normally would find old coverage of somebody. And it was because, like, a lot of that had been covered in newspapers was from a little bit earlier on. The Ruth Krueger case, though, was a huge story.
Yeah.
The same way it continues to be a huge story when, like, a young, attractive white woman vanishes, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Which was one of the things that, like, was a little frustrating to me about that arc in the later part of her career that was focused on the idea of white slavery, because some of the other stuff that she had investigated really was a much bigger issue. Like, the international trafficking of laborers was an enormous problem that far overshadowed the supposed threat to white women by supposedly, like, immigrants and black men and Jewish men who were theoretically running these huge white slavery rings in the United States.
Right.
That all continues to be true today.
Right.
In terms of what people think of when you hear the word trafficking and what is way more likely to be happening when people are trafficked.
Yes. I mean, it comes up all the time that, you know, if and this isn't, here's the thing, it's tricky because you don't want to act like anybody's disappearance is not important because theoretically they have an entire family of people who love them and are desperate for information or to get their person back. But we have watched this play out over and over where if a young white girl or white woman vanishes or something happens, it's news everywhere. But in the meantime, there are countless Black women and Indigenous women and people of color who vanish and never get news coverage.
Right.
And it's kind of, it's a little bit, I don't know about you, it gives me that kind of deflating sigh of like, yep, it's never changing. It's not.
It's not a new phenomenon at all. Mm-mm. Yeah. The impression, so there's, she doesn't have, there's like not a lot of personal writing by her about her thought process behind things, but it really does seem like as she faced so much criticism about her allegations against the army that she never really backed up with any kind of support, that she slowly withdrew from the public eye. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that she did not become as widely known as various other detectives and investigators who were living at the same time as she was. Because she just kind of, like, she kept going to court. She kept working at her law firm. But she did not work on nearly the kind of high-profile cases after that as she had before.
Right. Can we talk about how much I love Julius Crone?
Yeah.
I love him. I feel like there's a fun story there. There's probably not a ton about him. But, you know, this idea that he was just so, you know, got assigned to her as a translator and then was obviously so good and so committed to doing this work that they ended up essentially in many ways like partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love that he learned how to fix bikes to keep his ruse yeah. up. Because he doesn't want anybody to go away with an unfixed bike.
Just because he's really there
for
to
a
try
whole
to gather
other
evidence.
Reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
One of the, it was in the book, actually, because I did read the book as I was working on this, described him as kind of a, like an unusual person to have been working as an investigator when he was first assigned to work with Grace. Like, he just had kind of a rougher personality than a lot of the other people who were working in his same department. And so it's, I don't know, it seems like it turned out to be a generally great partnership between the two of them. With all of their investigations. I mean, many of which really helped to either exonerate people who had been wrongfully convicted or people who had been sentenced to death for things that had the actual facts been known at the time of their first trial, probably would not have resulted in the death penalty. That last case where she suggested the exhumation and then really felt like that he was kind of railroaded after that point.
Right.
I think that weighed on her afterward.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, the exhumation was more damaging than helpful. And
yeah,
I can understand how that might, you know, up to that point, it seems like every move she made would have bolstered her confidence. But that one probably took it out by a significant margin.
Right. She's an interesting and complicated person, but I'm glad I finally... glad I finally did the episode. So a lot of times when something happens and we get a ton of requests for something, sometimes that seems like that would be a weird time to do something. Like when another podcast has literally just covered them, I'm usually not inclined to immediately also do it.
Right.
But then we got that note from our colleague, Christopher, who has, I think he sent us one more thing that I have saved and like, maybe do this at some point, but it's one that I've had a harder time finding information on. But I think that would make it like 3 for 3 of things that Christopher has said you should do this.
He's a smart cookie.
He is. So happy Friday again. Whatever's on your plate over the weekend, we hope it goes well. We'll be back tomorrow with a classic episode, something brand new on Monday. You want to send us a note? We're at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. And hey, subscribe to the show if you haven't already. We're at the iHeartRadio app and anywhere else you like to get podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.